Hello from Bear and Kura, a podcast from the Land of Oz Information Services. I love you, Kura.
I love you, Bear.
This is episode 100 of the Bear and Kura podcast. We're going to talk about episode 100.
Woohoo! 100 episodes! It's a long time.
We made it.
Yep, finally. Yeah, it's quite a milestone.
I believe I saw a statistic that only 3% of the podcasts that have ever been made have made it to 100 episodes.
Huh. So that means there's about 2 billion that made it in about 100 episodes then.
Could be.
Because there's so many podcasts.
Yeah, isn't there like 200 million podcasts?
Something like that. So, I enjoy it though. So, I mean, we never went into it expecting anything. So, kind of been our therapy on some occasions and got a lot of laughs, some tears out of it. So, but we still do it and we still plan on doing it for a while, don't we?
Yep.
How did you first learn about podcasts?
I think it was sometime around 2010.
Okay.
MP3 players had come out, but they weren't popular until the iPod came out.
Okay.
And I could not afford an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
But my partner at the time bought me an MP3 player. I think it was called a ZView.
Mm-hmm.
RSS feeds had just started going, but there was no way to aggregate it.
Okay.
So I wrote myself a program that during the night would look for new episodes of the podcasts that I like and download them onto a SD card. And then when I went for walks, I would take the SD card out of the computer and put it in the player and listen to them while I was walking.
Hmm. That's cool. Did you find it quite enjoyable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always liked walking more for my mental health than for my physical health.
Yeah. And
it's a nice way to pass the time. At that time, the only audiobooks were on cassette.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a Walkman, but I just never used it.
Probably a little too fancy.
No, I think the battery case, the lid that holds the batteries in, broke or something, and I had to tape it down every time I just didn't use it.
I would have to say I learned about podcasts, I think a little bit before then, but I didn't know much about them. The only thing is there was a bar that I used to go to in town called Rain. It was the early 2000s, maybe 2005, and they had speakers set up at the bar for a quote-unquote podcast. And anyone could go and talk to them and if they wanted to, and host a podcast show. But I'm like...
At a bar?
It was at a bar, yeah. And it's...
There would be sports on the TVs and people, obnoxious people yelling.
I think they were more enamored with the idea of actually hosting something like that, but had no idea about the technical side of it. Just because they had these microphones hanging from the bar didn't mean you could just walk up and do a podcast. I mean, even I know that it takes a little bit more work than just that. So, but yeah, I never saw anyone actually do it, but that was my first run-in with podcasts.
It was probably just another feather in their cap so they could say they had it. And
yeah, yeah. And I think I saw one group of people talking on them one time, and the people that were doing it annoyed the hell out of me. I couldn't imagine giving them a microphone. They annoyed me when they weren't on them, given a platform, so I can't imagine how annoying they would be once they had a platform to, so. But yeah, that was my first run-in with podcasts.
Compare how it started versus how it's going.
Our show?
Yeah.
I think we're both more comfortable with it now. In the beginning, I think we both were kind of guarded a little bit more. I think we're more free, willing to speak up, and I think it goes a lot smoother now. I think our personalities show a little bit more. I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I tend to think of the technical side of it. And it's far easier now than it was in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, now you can go through and edit the whole thing in an afternoon. Before, it took you a few days to do it. So
The RSS feed, when we first started, I manually typed it all in and then had to check all the tags, and I would have to calculate the length of the MP3 file and make a image and attach that to image, and it was very complicated. It's much easier now.
That's good.
I start out with a Word document, a different one, a new one for each podcast, and then I organize what our thoughts are and what our questions will be. And when we do the podcast, we kind of read off of those. And when I do the website, we copy the text from that document into the web page.
Okay.
And make a web page. And instead of having to calculate all the numbers and everything, I wrote myself a program, and I just click a button, and it does it all. So it's much faster, less error-prone than it was in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Most think that a successful podcast has 100 episodes or more. Do you agree with that?
I suppose, based on the kind of spam that I'm getting, advertisers think that 100 episodes is a successful podcast.
Okay.
Also, I get a lot of emails from like marketers saying, "Oh, we can quadruple your audience," and things like that, and those messages just go right in the trash.
Okay. You don't read any of them?
I look over them, but
no few million dollar offer.
No. just a lot of people who say, "If you pay me money, I can get you more listeners."
Yeah.
And I'm not interested in that.
Yeah. I mean, we've done this kind of for fun. We never did it to monetize it or anything like that.
Yeah, and I don't know. It kind of bugs me. When I go looking for podcasts, for new ones, you can kind of tell the ones that are only in it for the money. About half of all the podcasts started have 3 or less episodes. How did we get to 100?
Hard work. I don't know. I mean, it seems like we've just plugged along. Persistence, yeah. You had this idea. I think we started it when you were unemployed. You wanted to learn something new to put on your resume. So we just kind of, and then we kept on going and going and going. I mean, if you think about it, we started this before the pandemic. And we're 2000, so we're 4 years in.
That's pretty. I don't think it was quite that long ago. I guess if you count when I first started saying, I think we should do a podcast. And then I spent months researching what the best, what kind of podcast we should have, and how to make the website look attractive, how to make the format. Because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I recognize that the ones that I liked the best had a format that was consistent from one episode to another. So I wanted to have that. And I think all that pre-planning kind of worked, because the format of our podcast hasn't changed very much from the beginning.
No. I mean, I like our format. I mean, it changes every week. You know, the subject changes every week. But, no, I like the way it's going. It's impressive with how much work you've put into it. People ask me about it, and I'm like, I'm just get up here and talk. You're the one who does all the work. You're the one who edits it and compiles and does all the work to it, or I give the easy path out. So, but yeah, I mean, it's hard to say how we got to 100. I mean, do you have any?
Just persistence.
Yeah, there's no secret.
But I don't commit to something that I don't think I can follow through on.
Yeah. Were you determined to get to 100?
No.
Okay.
I didn't have any set. No.
Okay. So what's your goals for now? Get to 200? Or you just want to stop now?
I don't want to stop. we'll just keep doing it, you know, as long as it's something that we want to do.
Yeah. I don't see it stopping anytime soon. I mean, it's a lot of fun. So we both enjoy it. It gives us something to do. So
the only limit I can see is the way we formatted the episode names with the 4-digit or the 3 digits means we have a hard stop at episode 1000 because we can't. We only have 3 digits. So 999 episodes is going to be all that we can do.
I think we got a long ways to go.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll probably live that long.
Probably not.
All right. How long does it take to create each episode?
4 to 5 hours, I would say, per episode.
Okay.
When you count the beginning, where I make the document that has the questions and make the web page, I do all that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then record it. And I listen to each episode at least twice while I'm editing. Sometimes more if I need more editing. Although I have found I'm not as heavy with the editing now as I was in the beginning.
Okay.
Letting a few ums and ands and sniffles in is okay.
Okay. Show us to be more humans, more human-like.
Just because I don't want to have to make a fourth and a fifth pass through the episode before I put it out. I used to be, we'll come to that later. We'll come to that later.
Okay.
What makes this podcast different from others?
That's a good question.
I have an answer right off.
What's that?
We don't ask people to like, follow, subscribe, or join our Patreon.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, very true. But if you want to, I'm kidding. we don't solicit stuff like that. So, but you pretty much nailed it on the head.
Fortunately, most podcasts that do that at the very end, and my podcast player will let me cut so much time off the end of each one, and so I just skip all that.
Yeah, that's good. I'm trying to think how ours is different besides that. I don't know. I think every podcast is different. It really depends upon who's hosting it, even, you know, the style. It's hard. I mean, it's different. But you know what I mean? I don't listen to many podcasts, so I really don't have something to base it on.
Well, I only know of one other podcast that has 2 gay husbands doing it.
Okay. Which one?
There's a lot of gay podcasts, but most of them are a bunch of friends or something like that. I only know of one where there's a gay couple doing the podcast.
Okay, and who are they? Have I listened to them?
Yes.
Okay. It's not enormous, is it?
No, those...
They're friends, right?
They're friends, and both of those guys have husbands.
Okay.
I cannot think of the name of it.
It's not Foul Monkeys.
Not them either. Tastes Like Burning? I think it's Tastes Like Burning.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of them.
Yeah, it's been in the car.
Okay. I'll have to pay more attention then. Like I said, you know, you're the one that listens to more of the podcasts than I do. I just catch them when you're playing them when we're in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, Do you think doing the podcast has made you better people?
We're no worse than we were. I guess it has to be true, but I can't think of any examples.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're pretty authentic.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm trying to think. When we first started it, we sent it out to some of the other podcasts, and I'm trying to think of what they said they thought about them. I think authentic was one of the ways they described it. And yeah, authentic was probably the thing we heard the most from them when they would give us feedback on it. Pretty open.
I've had some other podcasters complain that we obviously are reading off of a piece of paper for a lot of it. Well, that's because that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Maybe we need to change that.
Get a teleprompter.
There's somehow figure a way out to work around it, I guess. And bring it up in a nonchalant sort of way.
That sounds like hard work, and I'm not willing to put any more work into it.
Okay. Well, we'll nix that idea then. I don't think it made us any worse people.
We don't use our real names.
Mm-hmm.
But I ran a gay bulletin board system in the 70s. And I learned back then to kind of put a wall between your personal life and
what's out there?
And what's out there. For instance, at that time, they had a function where somebody could request a chat with you.
Mm-hmm.
It would make a sound, and if you wanted to, you could chat with them by typing.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, one of the people who had one of those bulletin boards said, disable that chat immediately. That's the first thing you should do is disable it. Because if people worked out where you lived, they would know that you have a computer that they could steal.
Hmm.
And if they can chat and you don't answer, they know you're not there and they can go steal your computer.
Huh, wow.
Which was, you know, a big deal back then. Computers were expensive.
Yeah.
And so pretty much ever since then, even during my activist days, I have always used a second phone number, always had a P.O. box. In fact, during those days, there was one time when four other activists that I knew got their firebombs on their front porches.
Really?
And I was the only one that didn't, because I didn't give out my address. I always gave out the P.O. box.
Huh.
So it's prudent to, you know, not give out too many personal details where somebody could figure out who you are.
Mm-hmm. That's scary. That's real scary. We've been fortunate enough. No one's figured out where.
We haven't really had any harassment or anything.
Nope. So, and we've been really good about keeping things kind of private.
Well, not necessarily private, but because we talk about our private thoughts a lot, but we never mention anything that could be kind of traced back to us.
Mm. Yeah. You know, because we do talk about our jobs and what we do and stuff like that, so.
Never mention the name of the company.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the best way.
Mm-hmm. I do remember recording a little bit at the zoo with my mother, and every other sentence she was using my name or your name or where I worked, or I couldn't use any of it.
Yeah, you just had to delete it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did you tell her beforehand not to talk about it? Or?
Yeah, but
it's your mother.
Did that make a difference?
Yeah. She's going to do what she wants to.
Yeah.
So.
Have you covered all the topics you thought you would when you started? You're shaking your head no.
I don't think.
People can't hear you shaking your head.
No, I don't think we have. I mean, it's. I think we've.
On our first episode, we had 7 topics that we thought we would want to cover in different episodes. And we have covered all 7 of them.
Yeah. So look at that. We're batting 1,000. We've done 100 episodes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're really good about coming up with new stuff.
And that's not hard to do. People who say, I dread doing the next podcast because I don't know what to... Well, when I have a little app on my phone where I keep notes, and whenever I think of something, I put it in there.
Yeah.
And right now, I probably have enough stuff to do maybe another dozen episodes.
Oh, wow.
So it's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like a writer sitting in front of a typewriter with a blank piece of paper on, and you're trying to think of what to write, that's pretty tough.
Yeah.
But if you put down your thoughts, you know, when they occur,
and as weeks goes on,
it's not hard.
Yeah. That's impressive, though. I mean, I'm impressed with the stuff that you come up with every week. Because you come up with some new, fresh ideas that I would never think of. So.
And I'm not above stealing somebody else's idea either. Yeah.
Well, hats off to you, though, because, I mean, that would be the hard part, I think. And you've done a really good job on that, from week to week. And that's a lot. So, cheers to you.
I don't know what to say to that.
Why? It's a compliment. It's just
something I enjoy.
And you should be proud of it. And I'm proud of you for doing it. So, I do enjoy doing it. I mean, I was hesitant about doing this in the beginning. And then even, sometimes touring it, I was hesitant about it. But it's something that I've grown to enjoy.
We've kind of made it into a habit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something we do on Sundays now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our day. It doesn't revolve around it, but it's something, it's like getting up in the morning, going to eat breakfast on Sunday. We know that we're going to do it and we're going to lie. And there's nothing else gets done before we do this, really.
We don't squeeze it in. We allocate time for it.
And this is, I would say, probably one of our top priorities on Sundays.
Yeah, I guess. Because we do say, well, if we do this and this and this and this, it's not going to leave enough time to do the podcast.
Yeah. And, we both do enjoy doing it. And
Do you like listener feedback?
I do, particularly. It's to me, it's rejuvenating.
You just mentioned this the other day when we got an email from Hot Cub.
Mm-hmm. It's because like we've talked about before, when we do this, we don't do it for awards or accolades or anything like that. We do it pretty much for our own fun. It's like throwing, like we've talked about, throwing stuff out into the void, and you don't know if anyone hears it or pays attention to likes it, dislikes it, or anything. So when we do get feedback, it means a lot, because to me it does, because you're getting not recognition, but I guess you're being recognized that someone actually is listening to it.
And you know that you touched someone.
Mm-hmm. So that I get a big kick out of it. I think it's just neat. So I enjoy it.
Well, for those people out there who listen to podcasts, and they say, I'd like to do something to support the podcasts that I listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't immediately think about getting your wallet out and making a donation. Mm-hmm. Write them an email.
Yeah.
Because that means so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really makes it feel worthwhile.
It makes it worth it. Mm-hmm. It really does. So we've gotten feedback from a few people and stuff, and I think we're really good about acknowledging those people once they do give mm-hmm. us feedback. So, but I really do enjoy listener feedback. Like I said, it makes it all worthwhile. And it's not like what we're looking for, but it does make it worthwhile. It does put a smile on my face, and I think you enjoy it also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What has been the most rewarding aspect of the podcast so far?
I would say that our friends and family have learned more about us.
Yeah.
Especially your family, because they're located so far away, and they've only met me a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have said that they like learning about me and learning about us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My sister in particular really enjoyed it. Because she really only met you twice.
Mm-hmm.
Our wedding and then we went on vacation. So, yeah, she brought that up to me when we first started. And she feels like she's getting to know you better and all of that. So,
I don't think anybody in my family listens. I don't think they would know how.
Yeah.
But friends have mentioned to me, you know, I've learned things about you too that I wouldn't have known any other way.
Hmm.
And we, from time to time, learn new things about each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just, you know, because it's stuff that, you know, I mean, I think we know each other pretty well, but, I mean, there's stories that come up that, you know, we have learned from each other.
And every once in a while, I comment, I did not ever know that about you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, honey. Like our pain in the butt cat. But yeah, I mean, I think you've been more surprised by me, though, with some of the stuff that I told you than vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's been fun, you know, and it's, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm sorry.
What was the biggest challenge?
Getting you to talk. I'm kidding. No, I thought that would be one of the challenges of it, would be getting you to talk, but you get on here and you just go.
If I have something to say,
yeah.
I always wanted to be a writer, and I've always said I can't, because I can't write 100 words when only 10 would do.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something relevant, and I try not to repeat other people's lies, so I try to be a little recognizant of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If I'm not exactly sure, I'll say that I'm not exactly sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct.
But I think our biggest challenge was just starting.
You think so?
Yeah. All the planning. When I first brought it up, I'm sure you were like, "What would we do?"
Yeah.
And so there was a like months and months of planning that I did before we ever recorded an episode.
Well, I mean, I remember in the beginning, you wanted to, some of the ideas you put out there were talking about sports. It's like, you're crazy.
And then it occurred to me that that would be one of those 3-episode podcasts, because
how much sports can you talk about?
Yeah, how much can you talk about that?
Yeah. I could talk about it, but yeah, I don't think anyone would want to listen to that. Hmm. But yeah, it all kind of came together, though. I mean, but I think our biggest, we were so open to everything, so I don't think we allowed anything to hold us back. Do you know what I mean?
There is a podcast, a science podcast that I listened to. I won't say what its name was, but this guy who is a good science communicator was talking to a scientist, and about 45 minutes in, he asked the scientist a question, and the scientist said, a lot of the time that the university has given is paying me to do this, so I'm going to stop now.
Hmm. That's kind of funny.
It's what they call monetization. I hate that word. It's just trying to get rich.
Hmm.
There's a lot of people who think, I could be the next crime drama. I could put a microphone on my kitchen sink and do a podcast and get rich.
Mm-hmm.
The really good ones, I don't think get rich. I don't know where I was going with that.
No, you're fine. I don't think we should ever start out trying to do that and make money. It's not, The ones that make money are rare.
And those are the ones who talk about making money mostly.
Yeah.
But you can tell what's important to them.
Yeah. But like Joe Rogan and other podcasts, the real big ones, they're anomalies. They're not... It's like trying to become a pro athlete. Your chances of making money on doing a podcast are some to none.
Mm-hmm.
So just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
So
yeah, just have a good time with it.
Yeah.
How has the process of putting out episodes evolved?
It's a good question for you.
It was very difficult in the beginning. Mm-hmm. We didn't have very good equipment.
Mm-hmm.
People advised me not to buy an expensive microphone and headsets and everything, because they said, if you get to 3 episodes and you decide it's not for you, you've just spent all this money.
Mm-hmm.
So our equipment did evolve. At one point, we got a field recorder. I think you bought that as a Christmas present mm-hmm. for me. And that changed things considerably, because we could do it anywhere. We didn't have to both sit in front of the computer. And the just recently, I upgraded that field recorder to mm-hmm. 32-bit. And that's a technical term, but it means that no matter how loud you laugh at one of my jokes, it won't ruin the entire podcast.
Okay. Yeah, the technical stuff I'm not aware of. So, so that's all the behind the scenes stuff that I'm not aware of. But I just buy the stuff when you say you want it, you put it on your wish list, and that's what I do, is I buy it. So I know you don't put things on your wish list frivolously. So, but.
And there was some things that were kind of bugging me that I would get wrong constantly. So I ended up writing a program to do all of those things for me.
Oh, wow. So you put a lot of effort into this.
Yeah.
How many programs do you think you've written?
In my life?
No, for the podcast.
Oh, just the one.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, here we go. Is the podcast authentic?
Yes, we're authentic. Yes. We're not made up characters.
Mm-hmm.
We really do talk about things as we see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's authentic as it can be, you know.
I think the people who do the conspiracy podcasts, I don't think they even believe what they're saying. They're just saying what they think will get them the most reaction.
Hmm. Yeah.
Maybe I'm giving them too much credit.
But no, ours is authentic. I mean, there's no ulterior motive. You can tell by our subjects and how they change and stuff like that. So
I'm not trying to get people to join our Patreon so they can have more money. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it's about as authentic as it can get.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Do you expect the podcast to grow?
Honestly, no.
No, I don't see. Yeah. I like where
I guess it depends on what you mean by growth.
Mm.
If they're meaning getting more people to listen, it's probably likely to organically grow as it has. But the number of listeners doesn't matter to me. I want to put my thoughts on record and have them be stored somewhere for posterity.
Yeah. Well, I hope we get more listeners. I hope we get more feedback, but it's not the be-all, end-all. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. If it does, it does.
From time to time, I look at our download statistics, and it varies wildly.
Oh, does it?
From 300 a month to about 600 a month.
Oh, wow.
And that's the total downloads, so you never know. If somebody heard about us today, and there was 100 episodes, and they downloaded all 100 episodes, that would look like, you know,
a
huge number. But that's mainly just because there's so many back episodes now.
Yeah. It's amazing, though, if you think about it. That's a lot of time.
Oh, the hundreds of combined hours of people listening to us.
Yeah.
I shouldn't think about that. That will make me nervous.
Maybe we have like a little army that's following us right now and we don't even realize it. Please, people, don't. we're just two bears that live in the middle of the Midwest, so nothing we say is that important. All right.
Is the format of the podcast important?
I guess. I mean, do we really have a format? The only thing we really do is we get on here and talk, and then you tell your joke of the week.
Well, as I said earlier, we have an intro.
Mm-hmm.
We usually talk a little bit about current things, and we have the questions, and then we have the joke of the week, and it's just the same format. Mm-hmm. And it obviously is a good one because we've kept that format since the first episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to be working. We both enjoy it, so. All right. What have you learned by doing the podcast?
I learned a lot about sound editing, something I'd never had to do before. How to cut out the ums and the ands and the sniffles and the lip smacking and all of that.
The fidgeting,
mm-hmm.
The cats making noises, neighbors making noises.
Although, I like taking photographs too. Like going to the zoo and taking pictures. And people, you know, they'll inevitably walk in while you're taking a picture and they'll say, "Excuse me, I didn't mean to do that." And I say, "It's okay. It's all part of the process."
Yeah.
So I think I've kind of learned that in the podcast, those things, when a heavy truck drives by or there's a train or the dog next door neighbor's dog is barking, that's part of the process, and mm-hmm. I don't necessarily need to cut all that out.
It makes it real.
Yeah. In fact, we've embraced it now. We practically record with the windows open.
Yeah, and then like before, like the cats would come by, we would edit that out. Now if they come by, we're like, hey, you know, so.
Hmm.
But, yeah, it kind of just is a glimpse into our lives a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
What would you do differently?
I don't think we would do anything differently, would you?
I would build a soundproof studio room in the house.
Okay.
Or move somewhere on top of a mountain where there's no barking dogs, there's no trains, there's no cars going by. I suppose there's no place on Earth you can get away from the airplanes.
Yeah. So of all those things that we said that are endearing, you'd still want to get away from all of it?
If I could have done it from the beginning, yeah.
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 So. I guess I would have to agree with that. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything so pressing that we would have to change anything, though. Would you agree?
If we were doing it like so many people who think that they're going to be millionaires by having a podcast...
Yeah.
If we had done it for the money from the start, we would have certainly done a lot of things different.
Yeah. So we kind of just do it for the love of it. So have you used the podcast for other purposes?
That's kind of a strangely worded question.
Mm.
We have submitted our podcast to an archive that the library, our local library, did about COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We submitted our COVID episode to that group, and we've also submitted it to StoryCorps, which is an archive done by the Library of Congress, I think,
mm-hmm.
but it's administered by the NPR.
Okay.
And it's a lot of heartfelt stories between people who know each other.
Mm-hmm.
We've submitted several of our episodes to that.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I think, the only thing that we've ever really done with it, isn't it?
Yeah. I've tried to get it to go to archive.org or archive.is to keep copies of the podcast in case something happens to us. because it's hosted on a domain that I've had since like the 1980s. But if I stop paying the bills, that's going to go away.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to find a place to get it permanently archived.
Okay. All right. All right. How many more episodes do you think there will be?
As many as we want.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see any ending in sight. So.
A lot of podcasts will eventually fade out. It'll be longer and longer between episodes until they finally just don't get any. And 2 years later, you say, okay, I guess I'm taking them off my aggregate list.
Mm-hmm.
And that always bugs me.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened to these people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we ever did decide to stop, I think we should do one last episode saying we're going to stop and this is why. And
yeah,
and
give people a reason.
Yeah, give some closure, I guess.
Yeah, I think that would only be fair to maybe the handful of listeners that we have. Both of them, yeah. So, well, that looks like it's the end of it. Do you have a joke this week?
What do you call a gay couple who can't afford therapy?
I don't know. What do you call a gay couple that can't afford therapy?
A podcast.
That's good. All right. That was a good one. You got me there. All right.
We hope you enjoyed episode 100 of the Bear and Kura podcast. This is Bear.
And Kura.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to the Bear and Kura podcast, a production of the Land of Oz Information Services. We can be contacted via email using the address podcast@oz.com. And Oz is spelled AWES.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.